It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody. JT, back with you. It's hour number two live from training camp, brought to you by Remy Martin XO. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. Do you know it's Remy Martin's 300th anniversary? I mean, think of that. 300 years of exceptional cognac making. They're our proud partner. Have a cognac cocktail for the summer here. This is my team. Remy Martin's been with me a long time, and all the activations they have around town and the fact that they're part of our training camp coverage, I want to thank their entire team for everything they do for us, and they're really good. And they're all around town. They're always reaching out to us, telling us what they're doing so we can tell you about it here. So if you're into the 1738 like I am, fantastic. If you want to try something unique, and I'm talking really unique, how about the Remy Martin XO gift set? You can order that at their website at remymartin.com. The Tercet 300th anniversary bottle here overall, and the fact that just a part of the remotes we do in town, and I just love Remy Martin, man. When I come out here, I make sure that I bring up the fact that we could not be a training camp without Remy Martin, our proud partner. Go to remymartin.com and find a way to make a better cocktail and experience everything they have to offer. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. So the first hour of the show was, I thought, really good. We had Michael Mayer on, if you're able to see that. If you were able to see that overall, you pretty much loved it. If you saw what we were able to do with him, fantastic. I mean, there's someone there who can really understand what we're trying to do. And Michael Mayer, I believe, is going to be one of those guys who has an impact again as long as they focus on him. As long as they focus on him and don't get away from the disappearing act that we saw with him last year. You know, last year we saw a disappearing act with Michael Mayer. One game he shows up, the other game he doesn't get the attempts, he doesn't get the throws, and if that's going to happen this year, it's going to be very frustrating. Because Michael Mayer, I think, is going to play a bigger role on this offense along with Brock Bowers. And if Brock Bowers has the year that I expect him to have, that's going to be exceptional, and Michael Mayer is going to be able to jump in and do a really nice job. Everyone who's asking about Devontae's wife's about to give birth to his first son. He's back in Vegas. He does not need to be here. He's fine. He's in great shape. He's motivated. You watch the Netflix season. Now, if you want to ask about Colton Miller and all the time he's missed, reportedly he's ready to come back. Jackson Powers Johnson, he's coming back a little bit longer than I expected here, but all accounts is that he's going to be okay. And the Raiders brought in some depth at that position. If you look watching on our YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT, you see I'm building my board for calling the play-by-play for this game coming up against the Vikings. And what I like about this team now is that the interior of the offensive line, Dylan Parham, Andre James, Jordan Meredith, Cody Whitehair, the guys who are going to be able to play and maybe get some extra snaps here, DJ Glaze, Thayer Mumford, who I assume is going to be the right tackle here, but everybody's talking about the emergence of DJ Glaze. This offensive line is getting a lot of reps. And they're trying to do their part so Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew can show up and play at a higher level. They haven't played at a higher level. So what's it going to take for them to play better? I don't know. They got to be more consistent. They got to be more mobile. I think they both got to be a little bit more vocal. There's a lot of things they need to do. And it's got to start already or start now. As I'm seeing here, the United States is ahead of Brazil 42-34. When it comes to Olympic basketball. So I'll keep an eye on this game. Look, the rest of these games for USA basketball is not going to be easy. Nikola Jokic has advanced. So he's advanced to the semifinals. So you got Serbia still out there, and they could put together a pretty good game. If you've been watching the Olympics along the way, I've really enjoyed the Olympics. I think the Olympics have been fantastic. Paris has knocked it out of the park. Good luck, L.A., trying to match Paris. Good luck, because Paris has looked exceptional, and I've really enjoyed that. So other than this, back to the Raiders for a second. I'll get to that. But Brandon Ayuk not being available on the trade block is a really big story right now. No doubt about that. So I'll jump into that, and we'll keep going here. I'm excited to talk to our next guest from NFL Network. He's out here covering the Raiders. Greg Rosenthal, kind enough to join us. And, Greg, I know you're knocking down segments here. We're going to get you up here momentarily. I know you're knocking down some segments here. What's it like to be out at Raiders training camp? Because Raider Nation is not allowed to be out here. Hold on, my producer's saying, wait a second. I don't know why, but we'll wait a second here until he gives me the go-ahead. And I know you're just going to jump in and wrap up your day here. Bobby, are we ready to go? Okay. I'm going to have to give my producer one more second here as we continue on. You want to line up? Phones have been great all week. 702-365-9200 is the number as we continue on here. The quarterback conversation truly has been the big conversation as we bring back Greg. And what do you think here? Because we normally have a much vibrant fan base, but we're not able to do that because of some Orange County protocols with the Saints in town and the Raiders in town. How are you covering the story?
I tell you what, though, the Raiders have a great experience for the VIP fans
yes.
that are here. And these 300 fans that were probably out there were as loud or louder than any of the training camps I've been at. Where you can have as many fans as you want. The Cowboys was pretty quiet. You know, the Rams, the Chargers, those fans are chill. They had a nice group out there. But the Raiders fans, they let you know. You have an announcer announcing, okay, this is second and four, you know, 1:30 left. No other camp has that either. So the Raiders, they do it right. And, yeah, that rule that they're not allowed to do it is
it's weird.
Unfortunate. Although, you know, I got to pick a bone with you here. Mm-hmm. I heard you earlier on the show saying, the national media is not out here. They're not giving the attention the Raiders. Well, I'm here.
Until you can.
I'm kind of higher on the Raiders than
you
most.
And our good friend Steve Weiss was out here day one, and I spoke to him a lot. But my vibe on this is that overall, and you're here, so you're able to see it. I think most of the national media, which would be national sports talk and national debate shows and all that, they don't know the depth of the Raiders. They don't know Malcolm Kuntz. They don't know Trayvon Merrick. They don't know some of the players that are mixed in here. So they go to the low-hanging fruit, which is kind of high-hanging fruit now with the quarterback play, which hasn't been very impressive.
And that totally makes sense. And that's why I can't totally get there of, hey, this could be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. But I studied a lot last week. I did a preview of the AFC West and went back, watched some of their games, tried to study their whole roster. And I love Raiders fans. Mm-hmm. They're diehard. I live in Los Angeles.
Yep.
There's so many more Raiders license plates than Rams or Chargers in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they're always so optimistic. And sometimes it's irrational. Some of these teams they've trotted out over the last 20 years, they didn't have reason for optimism. I can see the reasons for optimism this year if they can just get decent quarterback play. Because to me, I look at the lines first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the defensive line should be fantastic. I think the offensive line has a chance to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think I look at the skill position players next.
Really good.
Outside of quarterback, really good. And then you saw the cohesion and the aggression on the defense. That's a lot of things to like, again, if you can get decent quarterback play.
Greg Rosenthal is our guest, NFL Network. And I'll throw in the kicker and the punter are really good. And that's a part of the game. But the problem that I've had is that they've won 8 in a row against Denver. You would think because Sean Payton has been an epic, he's a great coach, but he took over a team there that had more problems. He's kind of purged the team. No Jerry Jeudy, no Russell Wilson. So that thing seems to be getting purged and trying to be fixed along the way. The Raiders do pretty good against the Chargers. They knocked out the Chargers from the playoffs a couple of years ago and put 63 on them last year. And you come to Southern California and everybody's talking about Harbaugh is good for 5 or 6 wins. I'm going, wait a second. So I think that's where, for the Raiders, they're a second-place team in the AFC West a couple of times, and they're getting treated like a bottom dweller in the AFC West. That's the only problem I think Raider Nation has.
The schedule is tough.
It is.
And Yeah, there's a quick way to change that. You got week one, you got a Chargers game, which ends up feeling like a home game. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have Justin Herbert out of 100%. And I fall for the cult of personality for Harbaugh, too. I was there.
Yeah.
It felt like a college atmosphere where he's really the king, and they just built this new facility with him coming in. And you just think, okay, Harbaugh, he's a good coach at hiring coaches, developing coaches. And so you think the defense will be better. You have a quarterback there. But him not being 100%, I think it's close between those two teams. Yeah. I don't think there's much separating them. If Herbert's not healthy, though, then you like the Raiders.
I agree with you. There hasn't been much since the Raiders moved to Vegas. There hasn't been much between the Chargers and the Raiders. They seem to be kind of similar teams here. Tom Telesco comes over from the Chargers. What do you think about that move? Because we haven't seen a lot with them working together with Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce is a motivated former Super Bowl champion linebacker, and Tom Telesco's had a nice career drafting, especially in the first round.
I was surprised just because there wasn't that relationship, and there's been some reports that the contracts are different length, and I do like that they're starting together on a full-time basis at the same time. That's important to me. It's a recipe for disaster when you start at different times.
Great
so
point.
They need to really be cohesive and on the same page. And I think Telesco, one thing he did well with the Chargers was he adapted the types of players he would get to the coach that he had. Now you can say, why did he get so many coaches? Like, it's pretty rare to be able to hire three head coaches, which he did without a ton of playoff success. So, but he brought in good players, and I think he adapts to his coach. So I was surprised that that was the move. That was not the buzz at all early in that process, and that was the guy they ended up with. I don't know what the story was there, but Mark Davis runs the show, and you got to think that's the guy Mark Davis wanted.
Greg Rosenthal from NFL Network, what do you think's happening with this quarterback play? You've been here today. You talked to some insiders. I saw you had Deshaun Reed on, and when you wonder who's going to get this opportunity, I thought Aiden O'Connell, because Antonio Pierce kept his job from interim to head coach. If Aiden doesn't win those games down the stretch, and he wasn't perfect in all those games, I wonder if Antonio Pierce securely gets the job. So the loyalty's there. Mm. But I think Gardner Minshew and his experience, I'm starting to see a little tiny separation so far, especially today.
Yeah, I thought you saw it today. Aiden O'Connell just doesn't look confident. I was with you. I went into this training camp thinking he was good for a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's an older rookie, but I went back and watched some of those games, the Indianapolis game, the first Kansas City game. He made a lot of high-level throws, didn't make too many mistakes. I thought his arm was a little better than I saw here today, and I think that was he was not comfortable yet in this scheme, which makes sense. He's going against a good defense. But if that's the case, if it's close, Minshew is a guy who's always been a better player than he is practice player. I can't tell you how many teams and camps I've talked to where the coaches never really like Gardner Minshew, but then he gets on the field and then they like Gardner Minshew in a game situation.
A couple of national topics before you wrap it up. This Ayuk story is massive because whenever you have a player who's that good, and I think he's borderline great, top 10 receiver, I don't think the Niners can win the Super Bowl without him. I really don't. I think they're a playoff team blindfolded, but the Rams are going to get better. You know, there's tough games in that division. But losing a player as they've been so close to knocking on the door to win a Super Bowl, not to get there, I've been doing this a long time. You're not a better team without Brandon Ayuk. How does this play out?
I totally agree. I think it's admitting failure. How can you trade him now?
Yeah.
It's why I haven't, this whole time, even as last night it started to look real serious that they worked out these trade terms, I still haven't quite bought it because I'm like, that's dumb. And the 49ers, I know they've made some decisions like Trey Lance over the years, but this is different. This is bad process to trade him at this point. Now, if you got Amari Cooper back
I'm fine with that. Amari Cooper is a hell of a player in this league. But Ayuk being, you know, just younger and ascending.
He's a better player now.
Yeah,
and Cooper is an up-and-down player where when he's great, he's great.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been as consistent. He wants more money, too, and I just don't think it makes any sense. And so when I saw those reports that came out, I thought, what are they trying to do here? They're trying to get this Ayuk thing settled. They're frustrated. And maybe they feel like they're calling his bluff a little that, okay, we're not going to let you go to Washington or Chicago. They're not, Washington or Pittsburgh because they're not meeting their trade terms.
Yeah.
we know you don't want to go to Cleveland. They're only giving you a couple more million dollars a year or whatever it is. We know you don't want to go to the Patriots. And they're trying to force the issue and put it out there. I just can't believe, actually. I still can't actually believe that they want to let go of him, because that's Kyle Shanahan's guy. He loves this guy. He loves this guy. He built him up. So I can't believe it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen still.
Greg, I've been asking all the insiders I've had on nationally and here, give me a team that you really like that not another team is, not a lot of people are talking about, and a team that you think is a little bit overrated. Hmm. Now, I'm not a Vegas gambler here, but maybe a team that's getting a little bit too much hype and a team under the radar.
I think the Bucs have a better chance to be like really good than other teams. People do.
Baker Mayfield could have been right out there today.
Right.
No, seriously. Baker Mayfield was available for a little to nothing. And my son went to Oklahoma. I was saying, Baker Mayfield looks like a Raider and could have been there. And look at the way he played last year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like who fits that qualification. So Bucks and Colts don't. I think the Colts have a very high ceiling.
Okay.
So I think the Bucks, to me, they are the favorites in that division. They're not the favorites in Vegas, for instance, for that division. And I think they have a lot of really high-level players, and I like their coaching staff, where I think that could be a 10-11 win team. I think if everything goes right for the Colts, great defensive line, really good defensive line, a quarterback with a lot of promise, a great young head coach. I mean, that could be a team that's really good, a 12-13 win type of team. Kind of be the team people expect, Texans. On the flip side, Cowboys. I mean, I know people aren't that big on the Cowboys anyways, but I think the floor could really fall out.
That was my Super Bowl pick last year, and I felt really good about it. They were really good at points last year. They were clicking. Injuries got them. And then, you know, at the end, that play against Jordan Love playing the way he did got him some big money.
Yeah.
That one game.
I was at their, you know, I followed their camp too, and they just have so many gaping holes, position battles, important positions, defensive tackle, running back, linebacker, offensive line, left tackle, especially, just a lot of big questions. And so that's, in terms of the big-time teams, that's probably the one that stands out.
Last one. Tell me about your evolution with NFL Network, the shows that you host, that you're on. What are you most excited about going forward?
Yeah, we've started this NFL Daily podcast. So that is new. I was doing the Around the NFL podcast for a long time. It was very close to my heart. It was great success. It ended, unfortunately, and now we're doing a daily show where we're really hitting every team. Good. News, analysis, all the great NFL media people that I can have on that are coming on each and every day.
Isn't it great when you have the resources to get on almost anybody you want? Or
it is very
the names
nice.
That you want.
And then
nice
coming
thing.
Down here and having that flavor of having some great players on the show and everything. And, then I do a pick show every week, Game Day View on Friday, which is a lot of fun too. So hopefully I'll be picking the Raiders more often this
year. There you go. Thanks for doing this.
I really appreciate it.
Greg Rosenthal, we appreciate his time here, as he is the national media that is down here at camp, and we appreciate that for the Raider Nation. Good luck to you and your crew this year. Take care, Greg. So there you go. I'm running a little bit late here. We'll get everybody to jump back in. 702-365-9200. And I think that was really good analysis on what's happening with the Raiders here, the battle with the Chargers, what's going to happen against Denver, the schedule, and how that schedule opens up. If you want to get through, you can get in. 702-365-9200 is the number. We're live. I'm going to say goodbye to our good friends on YouTube. Man, you've been fantastic the last couple of days. We thank you for doing that. We're brought to you by Boyd Gaming, local Raiders coverage at all the casinos.
So last week, I interviewed for the Giants position. I was set to interview on Thursday, the Monday prior. Before I interviewed, I received a text message from Bill Belichick saying congratulations on the Giants, basically, essentially congratulations on the Giants job. It was a little bit of back and forth. I have not sat down with the Giants. There was some back and forth, and I asked him, are you talking to the right Brian? As you've seen him through the text messages, he was actually, thought he was texting Brian Daboll.
JT, back with you. Bobby, who was that kind gentleman here? Because I couldn't hear with the music. Bobby is back in studio here. JT coming to you live from Raiders training camp as we continue on. Bobby, who was that we just played coming out of the break? If you could tell me my ear. That would be Brian Flores. Thank you very much for that, as we are live from Raiders training camp And we've had a good show, and we've had a good week or so here, and want to appreciate Q Myers, who got us all set up here, and Q is really doing a lot of work to get our flagship station out here, so we appreciate that. So before we get to Aiden O'Connell, I want to share a story today. So I got up, packed last night, because I had an early flight this morning, out of Vegas to Costa Mesa, which is beautiful to fly here, man. Everyone's been busting my blank for driving here, getting caught in that 22-hour traffic jam. But, you know, flying here, it probably is the easiest flight I've ever done. I've done San Diego, Burbank a million times. Flying into John Wayne International Airport is heaven. It's what you dream about when you go to an airport. It's when you get to an airport, it's on time, it's up, it's down, you're here in 45 minutes or whatever it is, and it's perfect. And I don't say perfect much when it comes to air travel. So when I grabbed the hat to come out here today, I grabbed my Tom Flores hat. I don't know why I did. I had a bunch of Raider hats. I got 100 Raider hats. And that one was basically staring at me, so I grabbed it, I put it on, and I came out here. And when I got in the Uber to come to camp, I came to camp, and Will Kiss and the team told me that we're going to get Michael Mayer on today. So I remember everybody just talking about Coach Flores goes to the post. Remember, we did the top 10 games of all time. We're down to number one, and we're going to do that tomorrow because I knew where I was going to be buried with interviews today. So tomorrow we go to the greatest Raider game of all time, according to me, and we're excited. We'll wrap up our summertime radio. So back to Coach Flores. I got here knowing I was going to interview Michael Mayer, and I called Coach Flores and called him, and his wife Barbara picked up. I said, Mrs. Flores, JT. Oh, JT, how are you? She asked me how my wife was. I asked how she's doing, her kids, her grandkids. Pleasant conversation. I said, can I talk to Coach? And she said, hold on. She handed the phone to Tom Flores. And for the first minute, it was just, hello, Coach, how are you? How's your health? When am I going to see you again? And then I said, Coach, I'm interviewing Michael Mayer today. And I want to tie it into Dave Casper. And because they both went to Notre Dame, and you had a play. And Freddie Biletnikoff and Phil Villapiano told me about it, where when it came down to the play that you had to run to win the game or get a first down, it was to Dave Casper. It wasn't to Fred Biletnikoff or Cliff Branch. It was to Dave Casper. And I said, Coach, dive into that with me. And he went into detail about how they had a couple of plays with Casper where Casper would delay at the line of scrimmage. He'd set the block. So he's a blocking tight end, a great blocking tight end, Hall of Famer. After he set the block, he would release. So you had either a double team on Cliff Branch going deep or everybody keeping an eye on future Hall of Famer Fred Biletnikoff. And Dave Casper would just float through and then break, and they'd throw the ball to him, and he'd have a big gain and a legendary play. And I said, Coach, specifically, let's get to the goal line touchdown that he had in Super Bowl XI. Where he did the same thing. He waited, released to the back of the end zone, and Coach said, quote, there was no one there. So I said, how did you prepare for that? What'd you do in practice? And this is where it got good. Coach Flores said that Dave Casper only needed to run this route every once in a while because he was so good at it. And Coach Flores started to laugh. He goes, you know, Dave was such an intellect. He was so smart. And every once in a while, he would give me a hard time, and I'd have to send him to his room. He literally had to send him to his room. But Dave was one of the smartest players he's ever coached. So they didn't have to run that play in practice every day. They didn't have to run Casper holding a block, then releasing. When they ran that play, it was perfect because Casper didn't need the reps in practice. So I shared that with Michael Mayer. And Michael Mayer lit up and his eyes opened up. And he said, yeah, we got a lot of plays like that. And we got a lot of things that we're installing. So I wanted to share that with you because Coach Flores, he's getting up there. You know how much I love Tom Flores. I emceed his Hall of Fame party. It was one of the highlights of my life. And we hope to see Coach around here a little bit more. Because Coach, when the conversation started, it just picked up and he opened up for me. And after about a half hour, I said, Coach, I got to get to work. He said, thanks for the call, JT. Appreciate it. And I really felt like my heart was full after hanging up with him and having a nice conversation about his great career, Tom Flores, as a coach, an assistant coach to John Madden and a head coach and a two-time Super Bowl champion. God, I love Tom Flores. Everybody raise a glass for Tom Flores today. I got the hat on, and it made my day. Right, we heard from Gardner Minshew, and Aiden O'Connell also spoke today. It was quarterback day. Here's Aiden O'Connell.
Hey guys, how are we doing? And AP talked about yesterday about this, nobody's really differentiated themselves in the quarterback battle yet. I'm curious, in your mind, what do you have to do to win this job?
Yeah, I think obviously every day there's good days, there's bad days. I think just be more consistent for myself. You know, I'm just, like I said last time, just trying to go out there and execute the best I can every time with every play. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go on out there and who you're playing with, what the call is, the coverage and all those things. And so you kind of got to tune all that out, take it into account, but tune it out and just try to, you know, execute the best play possible.
Is one of those factors the defense you're going against on a daily basis?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, we got guys flying around out there. Guys have been in the system for a few years now, and the sky's been better. And they've showed us really every coverage so far, which has been really good work for us. So, yeah, I'm definitely a fan of making practice as hard as possible, making walkthroughs difficult mentally for us just so we can, you know, that's stealing reps for the quarterback. And so I'm trying to, like I said, make practice as hard as possible, have the most challenging look so then you can try to make the game easier.
In this kind of situation, is it difficult to move from one play to the next if the play before the outcome wasn't, you know, up to your standards or what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, for sure. I think you want to stop and dissect it right there and figure out what went wrong. And sometimes you know it right away, sometimes you don't. But yeah, I think that's not unique to our team or the situation, but you want to fix the bad plays quickly and move on and then just keep executing the good plays.
What do you do to mentally push yourself to say, forget it, just go on and move it on?
Yeah, I think there's really no other choice. You know, it's each play has enough, you know, mental really stimulation for the quarterback that you have to lock in on that play. And you know, the call is coming into my helmet, fortunately, so I have to move on. I quite literally have to think about the next play and think about what's coming up.
What's your sense in how much the preseason performances will weigh in the ultimate decision for the starting job?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Really not sure how they're going to go about doing that. And it's not my decision. And so just trying to, like I said, there's days of practice before our first preseason game. So trying to execute and practice tomorrow and our jog through the next day and just trying to take it day by day. And I think that's what it takes to try and play your best ball.
After the season, AP told you he wanted you to be more vocal. And today there was twice where I could hear you talking to guys, once after a penalty, once after a route that wasn't run. Is that something that you you've been having to work on, or is it coming naturally to you now?
I think it comes pretty naturally. I think, you know, I've said before, it's really hard as a rookie. I found it really hard to do that, especially with the situation I was put in. And so, yeah, definitely more comfortable now with the guys. I feel like I'm actually friends with my teammates, and, you know, during your rookie year, you're trying to just figure it all out. And so it's good to grow relationships and now know guys better, know how to communicate to certain guys better. And I think, you know, all that factors in.
When you look at that defense, it's obvious that it's pretty good. Can you see a kind of a recipe developing for how to win here, relying on that defense, your run game, and you guys just taking care of the ball, getting into the playbook?
Yeah, I think, of course, they played so well at the end of the season. I think, you know, the thing about the Chiefs game, specifically at the end of the year, how well they played against such a good offense. And, yeah, they kept us in a lot of games and won us a lot of games. And so, you know, it's the quarterback's job to take care of the football in any sense, whether your defense is really good or whether it's not. But we're lucky to have a really good defense, and it definitely makes life easier for us.
Aiden, you mentioned that as a rookie, it's difficult for you to go out and, you know, talk to your players and everything. This second year, you're competing to be quarterback number one. How do you feel you're coming out as a leader for this offense?
Yeah, I'm just trying to be the same guy every day, really. And, again, it's a unique position. You're have good plays, you have bad plays, and you know, I'm not rooting that Gardner would have bad plays, because if he has good plays, normally our offense is having good plays. And so that's part of you know, my role and part of being a teammate on a team sport team. And so you know, just trying to do my best to support the guys, encourage the guys, and just try to lead them the best I can.
Well, along the same lines, I asked Gardner the same thing, but is it hard not to, at the end of the day, score? Like, I was better than him today. He was better than me today. Like, that would be like a human nature thing, I feel like.
Definitely somewhat, but I think, you know, we're both in the same meetings together. We're both lifting together, doing a lot of the same stuff together, and we're going against the same defense, and so we're looking for certain looks on each play. And so you can't help but even if you're not in, when we execute a certain play versus certain coverage that we've been hoping for, just to be happy that, you know, it went on schedule and went how we hoped it would. So yeah, it's back and forth again. It's obviously a unique role and it's a unique business.
How much pressure would you say that you put on yourself, you know, to really compete well and, you know, in this competition? Or do you feel like this is very comparable to other experience you've always had to, you know, go through in the quarterback position so far?
Yeah, I think I've been lucky to be in different competitions. Obviously, this is my first time at this level, but, you know, I think, you know, what happens earlier in your life prepares you for what happens later, for sure. My dad taught me that. And so, you know, in high school, I had to compete, and in college, basically every year I had to compete, and now doing the same thing. And again, it's definitely unique in the NFL, but I'm definitely thankful I had to go through those times.
Your younger receivers are getting more reps this camp. Anyone stood out to you or kind of surprised you as far as their growth the last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I hit Ramel a bunch in the scrimmage, and we've been throwing to Ramel a bunch. I think DJ Turner has really impressed me so far. He works so hard, super smart kid, and, I mean, plays every play. We've had a bunch of clips where the run's backside, and he's all the way on the other side of the field, and he's running across the field to go clean up a block or do whatever. So we have a lot of guys. I think Luke's done a great job of instilling that culture into our receivers of, you know, finishing the plays. When you catch the ball, try to go score. And so there's a lot of guys I can mention, but those two come to mind.
Luke's doing a lot of things to create offense. I'm curious what your thoughts are on his offense.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. It's a lot different than what I did last year. But obviously this tree is, you know, successful around the NFL. And so it's been fun to hear him. And, you know, during OTAs, it was kind of just install as much as possible and kind of go out there and figure out. But now we're seeing these plays for the second, third time. And so it's been cool to see, you know, his ideas, him pull up clips from past teams and situations about how they've succeeded. And so that, it's a super fun part to get to learn that part of it.
With Devontae not being here, it obviously gets more opportunities for other receivers, but is there kind of a fine line there? Do you still need him out there, especially still installing a new offense, quarterback competition, things like that?
Yeah, we definitely miss Tay. I mean, he's not just a great player, but a leader for us. And so wish he was out here, but obviously he's having a baby, so not mad at him at all, and hoping for smooth delivery and everything. But yeah, it's, you know, you want as many reps as possible. He's a guy that sees the game in a very unique way. And so for him, even, you know, I think we miss him a lot on the field, but especially in the film room, to hear what he's saying for each route, each concept, obviously playing in this offense before, you know, it's just part of it.
All right, that was Aiden O'Connell.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was Aiden O'Connell. Before that, we had the chance to hear Gardner Minshew. So as that interview was running and I came back, I went and talked to Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. Ed Graney's still over there, Vinny Bonsignore, and I asked him about that. That Devontae question is really important. Devontae doesn't need to be here, but he's not here, and that probably has an effect on Aiden O'Connell. Because Aiden O'Connell is kind of Devontae's guy, and Devontae likes Aiden, and Aiden has chemistry with Devontae. And he's fighting to get this job and be the number one quarterback, and he doesn't have his guy here. That has to play some type of role. I don't know how big it's going to be. And both of those interviews, the quarterback spoke today, and they were hammered by the media in a respectful way. In a very respectful way, but that wasn't, hey, man, hey, Gardner, how's your guitar playing? Hey, Aiden, where are you going to dinner? Hey, what's it like? What's the weather like in Costa Mesa? No, those guys, from here on out, every time they go to the podium, are going to get hammered on who's going to be the starter. That's where we're at. So as I've told you from the beginning of camp, I look at this as a quarterback competition, not a quarterback controversy. Will that change? We'll find out Monday. So rest of the week, we're here tomorrow. Friday, I'm off because we're traveling to Minneapolis with the Raiders. Harry Ruiz, the Latino voice of the Silver and Black, will be in for me. And then Saturday, I'll be on the play-by-play with Lincoln Kennedy and Eric Allen. So I'll call the game, and I'll have a pretty good idea of which quarterback plays better when I come out of the booth. And we come back and host the show on Monday. I'm not pulling for either one of guys. I'm not here. It's not a popularity contest for me. For Derek, you know, I covered Derek Carr's career for 9 years. I always pulled for Derek in camp because it was never a problem. Derek Carr wanted to play great in camp. He didn't get dirty much. He didn't play in the preseason. And almost covered that for a decade. And I really didn't, I didn't hate it. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't love it. It was just, look, Derek is going to be the quarterback. No one's pushing for him, his job. He doesn't have to play a lot. Derek's in tremendous shape. He works out in the offseason all the time, and he'll be ready to go, and he normally was ready to go. These two guys at this moment don't look like they're ready to go at a level to their ability. Aiden played well last year. He did, in certain spots. Gardner Minshew, we've seen him win games. But at this particular training camp, I'm looking at both of these players, and I haven't been blown away. Not that I thought they were going to be elite, But I thought that'd be a day or two where I'd be blown away by one or maybe the other one and said, man, what a practice today. That didn't happen. Raiders 66 as we're counting down the top 10 games. We go to number one tomorrow. 66, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon, JT. Yeah, I thought I didn't catch the first part of the show, so I thought maybe I missed it. It's my wife's birthday today, so we're out there kind of celebrating that a little bit and wanted to say happy birthday to her. But, yeah, the competition, you're absolutely right. And I think as a competition that both quarterbacks really deserve a shot at, you know, seeing how they do with the ones. And that's why everybody's been, oh, when they going to announce it at the starter. I've always been thinking it's got to be at least after the first two games because you got to, you know, give the one guy a shot with the ones in the first game and then another guy a shot with the ones in the second game and see how they do. So I think it's still in flux and there's still time. It would be nice if somebody had separated each other. But I think not having that scrimmage with another team, you know, you're going against this your guys. So everybody's kind of familiar with what happened. So it's hard. Plus, one side of the ball, let's be honest, is a lot stronger than the other side of the ball right now. The defense is basically running the ship. But in the light of the top 10 games ever, there was a point yesterday I wanted to make, and I forgot, that you brought up, you know, with the not if we hadn't beaten the Steelers in that championship game in 76, you know, nothing would happen. If we hadn't beaten the Patriots in the game where Stabler gets hit in the head and scores, right, all of that wouldn't have been for naught. But that game against the Steelers, that was the fifth consecutive season that the Steelers and Raiders had played each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the third consecutive season that they'd face each other in the championship game. Those five straight games, that has not been matched in NFL history. Two teams meeting each other 5 years in a row in the playoffs. Absolutely amazing. And I think that, you know, the game against the Chargers looming as the starting game, and you and your previous guest touched on, you know, both teams are kind of close, and they are. If you look at the last 14 years, that's 28 games, they've split. It's 14 games each over 28 games span. So that's a pretty large sample size. And one thing that I know you'll probably get into as we get closer to that game, but somebody mentioned the other day that Jim Harbaugh, when he was with the Niners, he's 4-0 in opening games of the season. So that's something that we want to kick that one on the loss column to him. But, you know, having the Hall of Fame not too long ago, just a few days, and you mentioning Tom Flores being a two-time Super Bowl champ, we got a quarterback on the Raiders that up until this season coming up has been the only eligible quarterback with two Super Bowl victories not in the Hall of Fame. Well, in 2025, there's a guy named Eli Manning that becomes first-time eligible. And I have the feeling that if there's some weird, wacky thing that he gets elected in his first year, Raider Nation is going to storm the Hall of Fame and do some protesting because Plunkett has been waiting for, what, like 38, 40 years, something like that when he retired. So it'll be interesting to watch this as it plays out. We've got like a whole year to go, but I think that's something that Raider Nation is going to be keeping an eye on. I look forward to the number one game tomorrow, and I'll be calling with a comment. Have a great
day. Yes, you will. I appreciate it, and I love the fact that you play along because I miss my buddy Raider Mort. My buddy Raider Mort has some health struggles that he's fighting through, and I try to talk to him often, and Raider 66 is kind of like Raider Mort, and Raider Mort means everything to me. So I always love Raider 66 calls. I love all your calls when you have them and you got something to say because, again, I'm a solo host, and I like to hear what other people have to say. So if you want to get through before the top of the hour, 702-365-9200. Let me say this again about Jim Plunkett. I say this all the time. Jim Plunkett's a Hall of Famer because of his entire body of work. The problem for Jim is that he has 25,882 yards. That's a problem because this is a modern era now where guys are going in 59,000, 60,000, 48,000, 55,000. So that is a big strike against Jim Plunkett that should not be there. Because he played in a different era of football. Jim Plunkett had 164 touchdowns and 198 interceptions. 164 touchdowns and 198 interceptions. That is not Hall of Fame stats. Okay, we know that. We're all adults. The voters vote. That's how come they've kept them out. Everybody asks me, why isn't Jim Plunkett in the Hall of Fame? It's the stats. Everyone in Raider Nation knows why he should be in, and I think I'm one of the captains of that ship. When you tell the entire body of work of Jim Plunkett, you have to include the Rookie of the Year, which is one of the great trophies ever. Okay, one player gets that. That's it. One player. Jim Plunkett got that. Jim Plunkett won a Super Bowl MVP and two Super Bowls. Unbelievable, as Raider 66 pointed out. The Comeback Player of the Year is a tremendous award. And the name of the trophy should be called the Jim Plunkett Comeback Player of the Year, because after his years in New England and the two with the 49ers, Jim Plunkett played 2 years with the 49ers at the age of 29 and 30. His record, okay, at that time, with the Niners the first year, he had 13 touchdowns and 16 interceptions that year. The following year with the 49ers, Jim Plunkett had 9 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. So when you're wondering, well, why did Jim Plunkett not go to the Hall of Fame? In 1981 with the Raiders, he had 4 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But we're talking about his heroic runs to the Super Bowl. So in order to tell the story of Jim Plunkett, we have to have people listen. They have to understand who he was. He was born the son of blind parents. Unfortunately, his college football achievements don't count. The Rose Bowl MVP, the Heisman Trophy, that's not part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's part of the College Football Hall of Fame, which he's a member. But you have to go back to the fact that he won the Rookie of the Year, the Comeback Player of the Year, the two Super Bowls, and the Super Bowl MVP. And the voters have to say that that's big enough. And then you have to look at his heritage. You have to, because that's what we're looking at in all of sports. Who's the first black player to do this? Who's the first Latino player to do this? Who's the first Asian American player to do this? It matters. It does matter. People talk about it every day. He's the first Latino quarterback to win the Super Bowl. That's important. Tom Flores was the first Latino head coach to win a Super Bowl, and he won two. So I think Jim Plunkett's a Hall of Famer. But I'm also smart enough to know why he's not in the Hall of Fame. And we need to do a better job telling his story. And I know the Raiders are really focusing on that. They're focusing on it in a big way. Because they have to, because that story needs to be told correctly. M Resort Spa and Casino. You go out to their pool for their concert series this summer, you're going to love it. They got a concert there every couple of nights. And it's a beautiful setting underneath the stars. Stop by the Raiders Tavern and Grill. Have some dinner and a cocktail and head out to their concerts.
Do you believe Vegas has a good supporting cast for whoever ends up winning the job?
I do, Hannah. I went back and watched Aiden O'Connell versus Gardner Minshew, actually, in the second part of last season, tried to get a handle on quarterback competition. And one thing that struck me watching O'Connell was how well protected he was against a pretty good Colts defensive line. I think the Raiders offensive line is pretty underrated in pass protection. On top of that, I think this would be one of the better 12 personnel groupings in the NFL with, of course, Devontae Adams, one of the best receivers in football, Jacoby Myers, a receiver, and then that combination of the two tight ends that they've drafted in recent years, Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. They chose Zamir White to be Josh Jacobs' successor at running back, another player who I was surprised upon rewatch how impressed I was by him. So I think this group around whoever it is pretty solid and maybe a little bit underrated headed into the season.
Wow, Mia Kimes at ESPN. Now, this is really important what I'm about to say here, and I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'll say it in a second. I want to first thank Mike and the entire team at La Casa Cigars, because I'm about to tweet out a picture. Mike sent me here with a box of cigars, a couple of boxes, and one of them I hooked up with one of the players on the team. You could figure it out. But I brought a box with me to have after practice or tonight, you know, and it's a Monte Cristo Nicaraguan Series 1935 anniversary box, a tribute to the original blend of the first Monte Cristo cigar created in 1935, handmade in Nicaragua. So I want to thank Mike for this and everything he's done for us as our proud partner. A great cigar. Everything's great with me, with my partners. This is great. Cigar Aficionado 2021, the number 2 cigar of the year, a 95 rating, so I'm going to have that. Nice job by Mia Kimes. Imagine if these other knuckleheads in the national media knew enough about the Raiders where they could talk about 12 personnel and the Raiders being pretty good in 12 personnel. Some guys on the radio never heard of 12 personnel, especially one based here in Southern California that thinks the Raiders stink. Nice to hear that soundbite from Mia Kimes. Really nice. Thanks to Bobby who put the show together. Hey, Michael Mayer, we'll get that out to the Raiders after the show if you didn't hear it. That was really good. And for everybody else, I'll be back here tomorrow. Q's coming up next. He's got a big show for you as the quarterbacks of the big discussion, and Q is right there in front of the podium, interested to say what he hear what he has to say about their performances today and his analysis from the podium. Going to have a good night in Costa Mesa. My last night in Costa Mesa is tonight. Thrilled to be here.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.